Goins, welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students only. What's happening?
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
What's going on?
Hey, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, how's your mom? Oh, my mom is, she's getting better every single time I see her. I just came from going to visit her, literally just walked in the door 5 minutes ago, and she's off the respirator. She still can't eat or drink anything, but she is off the respirator, breathing on her own, and she is alert, and she can talk a little, not much, but she's getting a little better every time I see her. She's still got a long ways to go, but she's getting a little better every time I see her. So thank you very much.
Cool.
I appreciate that.
Good.
So if you're brand new to our Inner Circle, if this is your first time, welcome. Congratulations and welcome aboard. We really appreciate it. I'd like to welcome all the new members. And we do have some new members on the line today. And I really appreciate your business, appreciate your confidence in us. Some people like to shout out questions. Some people just like to sit back and listen and see what's happening, what other people are doing. We usually have people that have stuff going on that are working deals and have questions. And it's very open, very informal. Everybody just takes turns. If you have a question, ask one, maybe two at the most at a time, and then give somebody else another shot. And I will be on here until nobody has any more questions, as long as it takes. So with that, who would like to start off and has a question?
Hello, Larry. It's Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey. I do have a question. I keep running into the Hub Zoo, and I keep forgetting about what Hub Zoo is all about. I mean, how does that work?
Hub Zoo is a website that is, I believe it's Fannie Mae Properties, and you just bid online, and you can have your, if you have a buyer's agent, you can enter your buyer's agent information, but you just bid on the properties at hubzoo.com, H-U-B-Z-U.com.
Okay, how's like their closing and all that work?
Well, it's no different than any other seller that is a bank. Absolutely no different. Yeah. No different whatsoever. Have you bid on any houses on Hub Zoo yet?
No. I'd hear that they're a Hub Zoo, or I see them that they're on Hub Zoo, like through Zillow or whatever, and then I just back out because I wasn't sure about it. And
yeah,
I thought it was
okay.
Just like an auction site.
You can bid on them.
Okay, cause I thought it was like an auction site, you know, where it'd have like extra fees and other things like that.
Have you been to hubzoo.com yet?
No, I didn't even go.
Yeah, that's the first thing you need to do is go over there and check it out and just read and learn and see everything to do with it and see how it works. That's the best thing to do.
All right.
Awesome. I hope that helps.
Yep.
Good. Who's next?
Well, Larry, this is Christian, your favorite Frenchman here in Boston.
How are you, sir?
Well, excited and a bit anxious at the same time, the reason being that I got my first offer accepted last week.
Congratulations, Christian.
Yeehaw!
And I think I did that. Actually, I'm pretty happy about what I did. And one comment that I thought I made a mistake, and actually I learned something that maybe I can share so for people to find out. But basically, it's a little bit outside of the typical 3-2. It's a 2-2 with a 2 full bath, which is a bit unusual, and it's 1,900 square feet, so it's pretty big. They wanted 49, so I offered 24,725. I never offer round numbers, so this way it looks like I have some kind of a system that sounds intelligent, or you know, if nothing. So the thing that I was fishing for at first is what would they counter, and they went from 49, they came down to 39, so he told me that they definitely wanted to talk. And but the thing that I did, I added and or a sign on my counter offer to their counter, because the original contract, when you use that from a realtor, does not have the and or a sign.
Right.
And I added it to it, and then that one I said, oh, shoot, maybe I should not have done that because they're gonna complain about it or whatever. So from 39, they came back at 35, and they said, we have no problem with the and or sign. So I said, okay, so all it takes now is to ask for it on the counter. But another thing, too, is that I told them, I said, listen, when they counted the first time, they scratched out the termite letter, most likely because they don't have it. So I, on my counter, I said, listen, I counted at 27 something, but I said, you know, I need you guys to have a termite inspection and pay for it because I'm getting a property where I may have $5 or $50,000 worth of damage for termite, and I'm completely in the dark here. That was Thursday afternoon, 4 p.m. At 4:30, I got a call back saying they will have someone tomorrow morning in the property. They're paying for it. They're going to inspect for termites. So, anyway, they were pretty pretty cooperative, and basically we agreed on 32 as a final price.
Well, good for you. Congratulations.
So down from 49, a property that is worth give or take 60, plus or minus. There's a bit of repair that is needed, but you know, with the and or a sign, at least that gives me a couple, an additional exit strategy, which is wholesaling it, as well as also have some flexibility with the potential buyer. So, as I said, that's what I'm excited about. Now, the thing that is anxious is a little bit strong word or whatever, but I don't really know what I'm doing in terms of, you know, if I do seller financing, then the issue that I'm dealing with is I won't be able to sell the note right away, and I don't have the money to carry the note for 6 months until it it gets seasoned. So I'm a little bit at a crossroad here. I'm not really sure how to proceed here. I understand that basically I can find a buyer and have a note to a buyer, but I don't really know how to handle that because of the cash flow reason for me. I cannot hold the note. So I was wondering what suggestion you have for me, what path you suggest that I follow.
Okay, so it's what is the ARV?
The broker told me ARV with seller financing, 69.5.
No, just a regular ARV. If somebody was going to fix it up and retail it, what would the ARV be?
With regular financing,
right.
Low 60s.
Low 60s? 60,
62.
Okay, 62. How much work does it need?
6,000.
6,000.
It's cosmetic, nothing, but it does need some cosmetic work.
Okay, so let's say 62,000 times 0.7, right? Right?
Yeah, if you want to go at 0.7, yeah.
And what would you do?
What do you mean? Well, you know, in your course it says 65, but 0.60 or 0.7.
Well, let's just give you the benefit of the doubt. 62,000 times 0.7
is
43.4. Minus,
yeah.
How much in work?
6,000? Yeah.
Minus 6,000. That's 37.4. And how much are you paying for it?
32.
How much do you figure closing cost is going to be?
Well, all included, whatever, maybe $1,200, I guess.
Minus 1,200. Okay. 36.2. And you're paying 32?
Yes.
Minus 32, so you're making $4,200 if you wholesale it, right?
If I wholesale, correct.
Now, well, let me ask you this question. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath.
Yes.
Is that going to be easy to sell? Is that a good fix-and-flip property to sell? Because remember what I said, I don't really like fix-and-flip properties with the retail value less than 100. And you said 62,000. How many people that could go out and get a mortgage would that have good enough credit and a down payment to buy a house are going to buy a $62,000 house? So think about this. Is this property, and everybody on here, listen to this, is is a fix and flip the highest and best use for this property? Hello? Christian?
Yeah. I don't want to fix it. I want to flip it.
No, I'm asking you what's the highest and best use of the property. I don't care who fixes it and flips it. I'm asking you if this property, the highest and best use, is as a fix and flip.
Well, based on what you just said, no.
Okay. So what do you think is the highest and best use? What is the house livable now?
Yes. There's some cosmetic work, but it can be moved in, yes.
Okay. Is a two-bedroom house desirable in that area where the house is located?
I'm sorry, there was some interference on the line. I couldn't hear.
Is a two-bedroom house a desirable house where this house is located?
I was told it's a blue-collar neighborhood where the thing that is a bit unusual about this house is that it has two full baths and it's 1,900 square feet. So it's a bit bigger.
If it's 1,900, why is it only two-bedroom? That's confusing.
Well, that's one of the questions that I asked, and they have a spare room in that house. So I said, okay. And I got the information this morning. I said, how tricky or expensive would it be to convert that spare room that they call a den or storage room? How tricky would that be to convert that into a third bedroom? And they said, not much. It's just one small wall to put up with a door, and there is no closet in here, but they can put a closet. And they said, you know, at the most to add that third bedroom would be maybe 15 to 2,000 top.
Okay.
To convert it then as a three bedroom.
Okay. And then what would the after repaired value be if you did that?
That I will have. I was not able to get that number yet from the broker today, but
so
I should have.
What I would do, Christian, if I were you, I would find out how much it's going to cost in repairs to turn it into a three-bedroom, two-bath, and or even a four-bedroom, two-bath at 1,900 square feet, but at least a three-bedroom, and then find out what the ARV is on that. If you can get it up right at 100, it might be a good fix and flip for someone for you to wholesale it to, because you would want the ARV to be up close to 100, because, you know, it's hard to fix and flip a house below 100. Because anyone who has good enough credit and a down payment to buy a house, most of the time they're not going to live in a $60,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
No, absolutely, and that's why I was asking about that third bedroom, because I was going along the same line. The thing is, I've been making a lot of offers and three and two and things like this, so this came along with a realtor that sounds reasonable on quote, and I'm not looking to make a big shebang on this first deal. I just want to make my first deal. On the other hand, I want to make sure also that I don't lose anything in the transaction, of course.
Sure, that makes sense. So I would check that out as far as the three-bedroom. How much is it going to cost to add that third bedroom, and how much will that be worth, and is this going to be a good house? You need to talk to a couple of realtors as well.
Okay.
That's the way I would play this deal, especially since you have Andrew signs in your contract. You want to try to assign it if you can.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I thought I had made some kind of a bobo, you know, by adding this, and I say, oh, it's not in the standard contract, so they may get all ticked off and tell me to get lost, and actually I realize they apparently really don't care, so... what I'm going to do now is every time I get a counter, I'm going to add that in all of my counter if I do counter a counter. And, you know, I think that people that are on the phone feel, you know, I think you should consider to put that in or a sign which gives you a little bit more breathing air.
Yeah, most of the times they don't allow that, but congratulations, you got it pushed through.
Yeah, I just asked them, and they paid for the termite. So, as I said, on this deal here, I've made so many offers that went nowhere. This one, I didn't accept it for the sake of accepting it, but I believe that as things are, I don't expose myself in losing money, and So again, the I will have all the numbers tomorrow from the broker.
Right.
And if that's okay, I'll shoot you an email with the detail of that, and then after that, basically, as per your course, to go find a buyer, negotiate the down payment, and then the question that I have is how, assuming I go with the note route, are there any with the what are the name of those guys? The Frank something there. What is their name?
I'm sorry. The what?
The Frank, the Barney Frank, and the other guys' law that they have.
Yeah, Dodd Frank.
Yeah, Dodd Frank. Okay, so now, is there a limit on the interest rate? Because you know you.
Just look at my Dodd Frank report, and it'll tell you. You want to keep it around 9% or less, or 10% or less. That's the reason I do 9%.
Okay, 10%.
But run those numbers on the other. Run those numbers on the rehab. And see if you're not going to be able to make more money by just assigning the contract since you have and or assigns.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Good, good. I hope that helped, Christian.
Yeah, no, of course. And
good.
As I
congratulations
said,
on your first deal. That's great.
Well, it's not done yet, but it will be done one way or another. I want to close that deal. And, again, if I make a few thousand, I'm happy. I don't need to make
that's
a big
good.
Bucks. It's my first one. I want to establish a relationship with that realtor also that has been really, really good working with me.
That's great. Good, good. Good for you. All right, cool. Well, I'm glad I was able to help you and get that info together and shoot it over to me, and we'll take a look,
okay?
Okay,
very good. And Nathan also had has followed up along with me and making suggestions and things along the way. So I will, but as soon as I have those numbers, thank you for mentioning it, but I will shoot that out to you.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Great. Who's next?
Larry, I'm wondering if you would be so kind as to go over that formula that you were just talking with him about, the ARV and the 62,000 times 0.7. Could you explain that?
Yeah, all I did was take, it's just either a fix and flip or a wholesale formula. It's simply ARV times 70%. ARV times 70%, and then you subtract out the repairs and subtract out your wholesale fee, and that's how much you can pay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else?
Yeah, Larry, I got a question. Steve Barkley, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing good. I got a question. I was listening to you about the $100,000 house. If they got good credit and all that, makes perfect sense to me. But I do have a question. It was a deal I ran across the other day. It was $47,500, about a $12,000 rehab on a four-bedroom, two-bath, double-wide. Now, that wouldn't work for seller financing because the money, you know, gets up there too high for the payment, the rent range.
Right.
But would you do a deal like that, or, you know, because if you got that deal, I mean, I'd have to mark it up probably. I'd probably mark it up 99,000 or something like that. 89, very
well,
low.
What do you mean by would I do a deal like that? You didn't tell me what you would pay for it or what you would do with it.
I bid on it. It was roughly 43,000.
Uh-huh.
They came back at 47.
Uh-huh.
So I can pick it up.
It 43.
Yeah.
And it needs 10 in work.
12 in work.
12 in work. Okay, so 43, you'd have 53 in it. And what are you going to do with it?
Well, I don't think it's a deal you can sell or finance because I'd have to be, you know, I'd have to be up there, what, 110, 112, somewhere in that range to sell or finance it. And then, you know, at 9% for 240 months, it's going to be way above the rent range for that area.
So what were you bid 43 on it. What were your plans with it if they accepted it?
Well, at 43, well, the plans still were kind of to, you know, maybe versus seller financing. But I was listening to you at the $100,000 range, and so now, you know, I'm wondering, those aren't deals that you would do then.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. You know, I bought a house not too long ago for $45,000, and I sold it for $99,900 with $10,000 down. So, you know, 2 times plus 10, that'll work. You know, 43 times 2 is 86, plus 10 is 96. You put it on for $99,900, you're in good shape.
Right, but they came back at 47. I didn't take the deal because 47, 57, 59. It put me at 59,000 purchasing the house.
Yeah, let them sit on it for a little while. You know,
yeah.
If somebody doesn't get it, yeah, I think you'd be all right. You know, you'd be all right at 43. I think. What are they asking for at 49?
Yeah, they came back at 47,810, I believe is what it was.
What are they asking for it? What's it on the market for?
It actually is not on the market yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually, they ain't even hit MLS yet. It was Hudson and Marshall, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I still got that other one. My $30,000 guy ran away on me.
Really?
Yeah, and my 18th. I couldn't find anybody to get the deal done. And, you know, too much time. You know, when you got a buyer that's hot and ready, you got to get on them. And I guess I just didn't get on in time. Both of them changed their minds. So still looking for that one.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And the dude named Billy, he finally called me the other day. I've already called him like 10 times. He finally called me. But I found somebody else that will, you know, run the numbers for me, so at least I've got somebody to call. That was my only holdback on it. You know, I'm not afraid of selling the thing. My only holdback is I don't know how to, you know, do the numbers. You know, year two, year three, year four, so forth and so on.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, that's what the RMLO would do.
Exactly.
Well, I think I've got somebody to do that now. But, yeah, I did wonder about that deal. And I also, not to take up everybody's time, but I got another deal I'm looking at. This one kind of scares me. The house is 1900, and it's in a great area, 30 grand, but it's a 1900, and it's 3,100 square feet. Just in looking at the pictures, it looks like somebody could move right into it. Talking to the real estate agent, she says somebody could move right into it. Would you purchase a 1900 house?
I would have to, you'd have to convince me to. Has the electrical been updated? Has the plumbing been updated? You know, what else has been done? How old is the roof? You know, I would probably get a home inspection or get several contractors to go out there and take a look at it. You know, and find out what the story is. You just have to sell me on it. You know, if I could wholesale it, probably so. I probably wouldn't sell or finance it or lease option it, just because, you know, anything could happen at any time.
Right.
How long has it been on the market?
Pardon me?
How long has it been on the market?
It's been on the market, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember. But this real estate agent I spoke with, that's what kind of what I thought about, grabbing it and just wholesaling the thing. You know, make $5,000, move on with it.
Well, if you could do that, then that would be fine. That would be fine.
Well, here's the problem. The real estate agent says that she's got people that are interested, but they don't have the cash money to pay for it. So I thought, she's supposed to call me back tomorrow, actually. I told her, I said, well, listen, if I was to make that purchase at 30 grand, I said, I would sell it at 59.9. She said, I might have somebody to buy that. I said, okay, well, call me back. She said, I'm going to call me and call you back. I said, call me back. If you got somebody to buy it, I'll make the purchase.
There you go.
And so anyway, tomorrow I'm going up to look at it. It's up in Sumter.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Hey, Mayor, this is something. I have a question.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the best way to build a buyer's list of other investors?
What's the best way to build a buyer's list of other investors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to build your buyer's list. Are you talking about a wholesale buyer's list?
Right.
Okay. go to your local RIA group, hand out flyers, talk to everybody that you know, look up online at the Register of Deeds in the county where you're buying and selling, and look for the name of Equity Trust, and that's anybody that has an IRA at Equity Trust and any other custodian. Look up online at CoreLogic or ListSource and find out every property owner that owns more than one property in the area. And those are people who have rental properties, and they would be landlords that you could sell to. Put out signs, run ads on Craigslist, run ads on Backpage, run ads on eBay, put ads in magazines, or not magazines, but newspapers. Those are all the top ones that come to mind.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Did that help?
Yeah, thank you.
Great. You're very welcome. You're
you
very
mentioned
welcome.
Another website other than ListSource. Which one was that?
CoreLogic.
CoreLogic.
Yeah.
CoreLogic Logic?
Right.
Okay.
Yep, you should have it in your notes when you came to my 3-day.
Yeah, I took a lot of notes. I reviewed things, but it doesn't hurt to hear things again.
There you go. That's good. Steve, did you get your question answered?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I need to know more about the property, which I'm going to find out tomorrow. Actually, I did, some Zillow and stuff like that. The neighborhood selling at like 180. That's kind of what interested me in the property. Not, you know, I've rehabbed a 1900 house before, and it was a nightmare. And so I think that's kind of why people are staying away from it.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. How much are they asking for it?
$30,000.
$30,000. Has it been on the market?
34, but I figured I could get it at 30.
Yeah. Has it been on the market long?
Somebody else asked that question, and if you'd have asked me about 3 hours ago, I could have told you, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm with you.
Hey, Larry, this is Fred.
Hey.
Hey, Steve, I had a house similar to that. It was a 1900 vintage house. It was in move-in condition, and I was a little hesitant on it, and I actually went up and looked at the house, and it was indeed move-in condition. All it needed was the appliances. It was listed for the low 30s. I bought it at 20, and I sold it at 59, and the buyers were ringing the phone off. I listed it for 59.9, and the phone was ringing off the hook. And I actually ended up getting a cash buyer for 58.
Wow.
I mean,
did you resell it or sell it?
I was going to sell or finance it, but I ended up selling it to an end buyer.
Okay. Okay.
But anyway,
yeah,
I'm going to
find out about it tomorrow. I'm going to run up there and look at it and, of course, look at the plumbing, electrical, HVAC, the whole nine yards. And if there's been any upgrades, I'm in. You know,
right,
and I do heat and air conditioning, so that part of it's that's the least of my worries.
So, but I did have a question for Larry. I just wanted to make that comment to you, but Larry, when do you, I got a house now, I got a couple of houses that I've had for more than 30 days, and it doesn't seem like I can get an owner finance buyer because people are having trouble coming up with the money. Have you actually switched gears and decided to do a rent-to-own or lease option program with a house that you couldn't sell?
Well, sometimes I do, like on the Filthy Riches deal, I'm always going to do a land contract,
right?
Because the Filthy Riches houses not always are move-in ready, and in order to do a lease option, you must have a house that is rentable. In other words,
right,
you've got to provide. Landlord-tenant laws say that you have to provide fit and safe housing. And if I'm selling a house that, you know, maybe needs some electrical or plumbing work or something, you know, then I can't lease option that. I'm going to have to do a land contract. But on the bigger houses, I am starting to move more toward doing some lease options. And I did two lease options just this past week. on some properties.
Now the only downside I see two downsides to the lease option is, number one, you don't get as big of a down payment, but
Fine
more importantly, that. you can't do the note sale of those. So is there another option to try to cash out of those? Another
yeah.
way to cash out of those?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I'm not sure what you mean by you can't get as big of a down payment, because, you know, you just sell it the same way. It's just you're just using, you know, you're using a lease option as opposed to a land contract. And you kind of bypass your RMLO by doing that as well.
Right.
As far as being able to sell the note, well, you're not selling the note. You're selling a turnkey property with a loaded tenant when you sell it. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, essentially it's the same thing, but your marketing is just different, correct?
No, I don't change my marketing at all. I don't change my marketing. Here's the thing. I'm advertising it, owner finance and all that. When I get somebody, I could just say, well, you know, it looks like I'm going to be able to help you, but instead of doing a seller finance transaction, what we need to do is we need to put you in here in a lease option for at least 2 years. And that way you're kind of a homeowner in training, and let's see how it goes. And if you pay on time for 2 years, we could convert you to a land contract.
Hey, Larry, this is John Schultes.
Hey.
I just want to make one comment on that. I was cautioned that when you do a lease option as opposed to a rent to own, that if they ever get in, the buyer who's you're putting in there in the property ever gets in a position where they're not paying, they can't pay, and you move to foreclose, they have equity position in the property because they've been paying towards the principal, and it. In some states, it's very hard to you need to check the laws in your jurisdiction and make sure that you can
okay.
get.
Okay. Well, first of all, there is no foreclosure for a land contract or for a lease.
Well, you know, I mean eviction.
Right.
That's what I meant.
So, but here's the thing. You never, ever, 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 especially because of Dodd-Frank, give any rent credit. If you give rent credit and you do happen to go to court and a judge says this is a seller finance transaction, you got to foreclose, then that's when it'll come up. But don't give rent credit for lease options. And on the option money, you make the option money go toward closing cost. You can verbally tell them that anything over and above closing costs will go toward your down payment. But you put it in your agreement that says the option money will go toward closing cost if
okay.
and when the option is exercised. That way it keeps them from having any equitable interest as far as a judge would be concerned.
Let me ask you one more question on it, Larry. Do you know Dave Ramsey? Have you talked with Dave Ramsey?
I know. You're talking about the Arthur Dave Ramsey?
Yeah, the finance.
Dave Ramsey show, yeah.
Yeah. Dave Ramsey, he surprised me. He came out so strong with a comment against rent to own and lease purchase that I was really surprised. He said, he's coming from the same positions that I believe you are and I am, and it really surprised me how negative he was towards it. So I was wondering what you thought about that, because that is something
what
that
did
I
he
have,
say negative about it?
That it was taking advantage of poor people, and that God does not look well on people that take advantage of his poor. And it really surprised me at the time when he made the statement.
I'm not sure what he's talking about, because we're helping people become homeowners that can't get a bank loan.
I know, that's what I thought. And anyway, I just wondered if you'd talk with him about it.
I have not, but I'm gonna look that up and find out more about that.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that with me, though. I appreciate you letting me know. Who's next? Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, I got one, Larry. Hey, on my Craigslist ad, I put it under seller financing. Should I move that? Because I really haven't had many bites on it. Move it over to something else, for sale by owner maybe?
No, I don't own Craigslist.
Yeah.
Why don't you run one in each of them?
I didn't think you could do that.
No, I'm not. I'm not sure that there's any reason that you can't.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll certainly give it a shot tomorrow. I didn't. I thought once you ran one ad, they didn't allow you to do it again.
No,
like
I've seen people that run. I mean, if you look in the real estate section, you see some people. There was a guy on there a week or so ago. He ran the same exact ad, back to back to back to back to back. Had like 20 different ads ran for the exact same property.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's the case, I'm sure they'll allow two.
There you go. Just run
yeah,
it in
just
every section.
In. Just to pipe in, I got one on Craigslist right now. I've been trying to sell and stuff, and it's I've been having like 5 or 6 ads on it all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. I didn't know that. That's why I haven't done it. I thought it wasn't allowed.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, what they try to do and stuff, I mean, they could, like, download on mine so far, but they haven't, you know. But I've heard that, you know, the best way that you can do is you could run, like, one for 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock and then 5 o'clock each and every day. But this one guy, he does it for, you know, he'll do, like, a new email for each one, and then he keeps track of it. I mean, it sounds like it gets really crazy and wild and all that, but I've been using the same email and all that, and I got, like, 5 or 6 of the same ads out on the same property.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't done nothing.
Good.
That's great to know. That will be changed tomorrow. Yeah, because I haven't had many bites on that. Most of my stuff has come from signs. In fact, practically all of it.
Yeah, you're going to get most of your traction from signs.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I just need somebody with some money.
There you go. That's good.
Hey, Larry, this is Meg.
Hey, Meg, how are you?
Oh, I am doing well. I am in Jacksonville, North Carolina right now trying to sell a house.
Good for you.
It is an interesting thing that I have encountered in Jacksonville. Nobody that I have talked to, nobody who's answered any of my ads or come to see my house, has enough money for a down payment. This city has a lot of military people in it. There's a lot of VA. There's a lot of so they're all kind of conditioned to think in terms of VA loans, where they only have to put 3% down. And nobody has any money, and it's just been a nightmare trying to sell this house. So long conversation with the realtor. She was like, you're so far into it, spend another $1,000 and you can retail it, and they can put down 3% and you can get the bank loan, whatever. And so I think that's the direction we're going.
But if it's only $1,000, it would be worth that. But the first thing I'm hearing, I'm thinking, I would run some ads that say, can't qualify for a VA loan, I can help you. Your down payment is your credit.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. But I've had like 100 people come out to this house and look around and say, it's so beautiful, I really want it. And then we start talking terms, and they've got $500 in the bank.
Yeah. Did you check that before you bought it? Talk to realtors, talk to other people in the area and find out, based on this house in this area, what do you think I can get down as a down payment?
You know, I asked that question, and everybody seemed to think that $4,000 or $5,000 down was going to be achievable.
Even realtors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would go back to those realtors and find out if they have any buyers that have looked at houses similar that have $4,000 or $5,000.
That would be good.
There you go.
That would be good. But my real question was, if I'm going to put this out on the MLS as sort of a normal retail and hope that somebody who can qualify for a VA loan, the one thing I have not done at this house is to have the water turned on.
Uh-huh.
Do I pretty much have to get the water turned on in order for people to do it inspection?
Not necessarily.
This is such a funny in-between thing. I don't know how to do this.
How to do what?
Well, I've done high-end flips and a couple of really low-end flips, and now I'm in this weird in-between place. I can't figure out what to do.
Yeah. Well, I think you're just going to have to – I mean, you're down there right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I would just talk to some realtors. Go around and talk to some realtors. Go around the neighborhood. Find anybody else that has a property for sale and who is the listing agent, and call the listing agent and see what you can find out. Say, you know, you got a house over here. You have any buyers that have some down payment but they can't qualify for a loan? Sell them my house right down the street.
Any realtor who has a house for sale, is that what you're saying? Any listing agent. Any listing agent who has a house for sale, that's what you're saying?
Any listing agent that has a house for sale that is in the same neighborhood as your house, you call that listing agent. The other thing you can do is you go look at that house as well. You go in there and on the sign-in sheet or all the business cards that are laid on the kitchen counter, where every realtor that shows a house, they put their business card on the kitchen counter. So you go in there and you take a picture of all their business cards and you call them and say, hey, I saw you showed this house down the street. I've got one on the same street or in the same neighborhood. If you have a buyer that has $4,000 or $5,000 to put down, I'll loan or finance it for them with no bank qualifying.
Another great idea.
You're welcome.
Hey, Meg, I'm curious. Is that a home or is it a mobile home?
You asking me?
Is it a house, a regular house, or is it a mobile home?
It's a double wide.
Double wide, okay. Hey, Larry, got a question for you.
Okay.
Double wides, if you did resell them retail, are they hard to get loans for?
Yes and no. We sold one about a month and a half ago, and the person is already refinancing and paying us off. Their closing is set for September 28th, and they're paying us off.
So there are lenders that will still loan on homes in a double wide.
Absolutely.
On a permanent foundation.
Absolutely.
Okay, because I was talking to a realtor the other day, and she said nobody's loaning on double wide. I'm like, I'm going to take the retail in out of it.
Well, anytime somebody tells me something like nobody or every time or you always, that reminds me of a five-year-old.
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, surely I kind of thought somebody was doing it. I just didn't, know anything.
Yeah. There's lenders out there that'll still loan them. I mean, do you think there's still – I mean, yeah, it's just like everything else. It's not like it used to be, but neither are regular single-family loans. But there's – I mean, there's still mobile home dealers around. There's still houses being bought and sold, mobile homes. So there's some lenders out there doing it.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I even thought about, if I didn't sell this other house I've got fairly soon. I kind of wanted to keep the note, but at this point I'm ready to sell the house, so I don't care whether I keep the note or not.
Yeah.
Thought about going retail on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, good. So who's next?
I have a quick question. I'm not sure if I misunderstood. This is Christian. If I misunderstood, if someone qualifies for an FHA loan, does that potentially interfere with seller financing note that you create for a buyer?
if someone qualifies for an FHA loan?
Or if someone, or if a property, I didn't clearly, I missed part of that comment. That was someone that I met in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts always has some kind of funky loan laws. You know, they have to be always a little bit different. But somehow it seemed that I understood that if a property or someone qualifies for FHA financing, then when you write a seller finance loan or note, I understood, or I seem to understand, that there may be some limitation on the type of interest that you can charge people. Do you know anything about that?
No, one has nothing to do with the other. If a house qualifies for FHA financing, that's irrelevant to whether or not you can sell it with seller financing or what interest rate you can charge.
Okay. So I need to get back to that person here that I kind of overheard. I don't know. I may have missed something, but I wrote that down as a question to ask you because I didn't know if there was anything related one with the other.
Right. Yep. Two totally different things.
So FHA financing or FHA being qualified, FHA financing in any way, form, or shape does not interfere with the type of note that you can issue or for a potential buyer?
No, it has nothing. FHA and seller financing are two totally separate things, totally unrelated.
Okay.
Good. I hope that helps.
One other question. I'm just wondering, is your criteria still, you know, 40 grand below?
Yeah. I mean, I'm buying some cheaper stuff. I've just bought a double wide down near Columbia for 15. All it needs is a heat pump outside. I can get that in for $1,500. But I just paid 15 for it. And, you know, I'm gonna probably lease option it. I'm moving toward doing a few lease options to test the waters now and see which I like better, you know, because it seems like the lease options are going to be quicker to do. I can stay away from the RMLOs and the servicers, and it tends to be easier for my students to sell a house with a loaded tenant than it is for them to sell a note.
Okay.
So I'm testing that a little bit, and I'm going to see, and I'm going to be reporting, and you guys will be hearing. That's why a couple people have said, are you doing lease options?
Looking at, you know, under 40 grand, they just don't seem to be livable. No carpet or every, you know, or they just look like crap or bad areas or whatever. But so I kind of went up to 50 grand to look, and that's where I'm finding, you know, making bids in the 40s.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine as long as you're okay with paying in the 40s, either sitting on the note or wholesaling it or retailing. I got one right now that I put carpet in one room and pressure washed the outside of it, and we'll have about 36 in it. And we're listing it on the MLS for $79,900.
Oh, okay. On retail then.
Yeah, I'm not into fix and flip, as you know, but you know, it's a shorter process to just put it on the MLS. I mean, I have it listed with seller financing for $85,000 with five down. But if the realtor can sell it retail with bank financing for $79,900, I'm okay with that too.
Larry, how do you do a listing like that? I've been struggling with how to simultaneously list it for one price for a retail buyer at a different price for a seller financing buyer.
Well, I had this one listed with seller financing, and I still have it on my website. For $85,000, okay? I still have it on my website for $85,000. However, it's on the MLS now for $79,900, but I still have my signs up and all that good stuff. So, I mean, you can do both. You're just not going to market in the same places.
So if somebody sees your $79.99 ad and says, can you finance it?
No. They're going to see my $85 ad. If they see it on the MLS, it says nothing about seller financing.
Okay, gotcha.
Larry, when you advertise, do you put in there that you're, say I was going to take a property and my cost basis was, and I get a HUD home and I get my cost basis of about $31,000, that's my, with everything, all the repairs and everything and advertising and the holding costs, and I figure the ARV is $75,000. Would you advertise selling it for 56 and put in there that you're leaving equity in the table for the buyer?
So you're just wholesaling it, right?
No, I would be doing like a Filthy Rich's house, getting it cheap, like a HUD. So let's say I got it for about $16,000. They're listing it for $74,200. If I got it about $16,000 or $18,000, and then my cost would be in the about $30,000. I'm figuring about $10,000. To rehab it and get it ready to go, I'd be about $32,000, $33,000 in it, and then if I list it as 56 and do the bid for the down payment, would you put in the advertising that ARV is actually 75 and you're leaving about 25% equity in the property?
Well, it sounds to me like you're wholesaling the property, but you're offering seller financing at a wholesale price. That doesn't make sense.
Well, I'd walk away. I'd have a note for about 20, depending on how much the down payment is, about 25 to...
Okay, let's just say my phone is about dead. I got 2% left. But let's just say that you're selling it for 56. How much are you going to get down?
Well, I worked out everything from zero to 20,000. I worked out all the figures last night.
But think about that house in that neighborhood. What's the typical home buyer going to have to put down?
Well, if it's $75,000, is what it would be worth on the market, I guess probably about...
I thought you said it was worth 70-something.
They're listening for 74,200 on the HUD website.
Wait a minute, it's listed for sale now for 74,200?
Yeah.
I thought you said you were paying 16 and putting 10 in it.
Well, I'm talking about doing the deal. I haven't put the offer in. I just saw it last night, and I'm starting to work out the offers.
Okay.
And things.
Well,
I'm just putting right now I'm trying to put all the numbers together. Once I get the numbers in my head.
I'm just trying to analyze it based on the numbers you're telling me.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you're going to be in at 32 or 33. You're going to sell it for 56 with owner financing.
Yes.
What is your buyer going to put down based on the house in that neighborhood and what the typical buyer can afford?
That's what I wouldn't have any idea. That's why I worked everything from zero to 20,000 down.
No, it's not going to be 20. Nobody's going to buy a $56,000 house and have 20 to put down.
Right.
So let's just say 5, okay? Let's just say you're going to finance $50,000, okay?
All right.
At 9% for 20 years, okay? The payment is $449. If you sold that loan at a 12% yield, you're going to cash out. You're going to get $40,000, okay?
Right.
At 12%. And if you had to sell it at a 15% yield, you're only going to get $34,000, which is right at what you have in it. So that's way too tight to go through the whole process of buying it, rehabbing it, seller financing it, and then selling the note. You don't need to be, when you're seller financing, you don't sell at a wholesale price. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I just was wondering about the technique, if it would attract more buyers and help you move more properties.
Attract more buyers, move more properties in what way?
By offering a sweeter deal.
You mean a cheaper price?
Yeah.
No.
Listen,
seller finance buyers care about two things, how much down and how much a month.
Okay.
They don't care as near as much about the price.
Right. Okay.
Good.
I've talked to 30 people. Not one of them has asked what the interest rate was.
Good.
One question, too. The notes, as you say, you sell it at 12%, but that's a season note. You still have to carry that note for 3, 4, 5, 6 months before you can get the kind of 12%, because an unseasoned note, Nathan gave me some places to contact for low note buyers, but most people say I need a seasoned note. Very few, actually no one that I talked to said they would buy a note right off like this that has been returned. So that comes back to my original question, is that if I have a note to a buyer, if I do seller financing, I have to carry that note for 4, 5, 6 months until it becomes seasoned to get a decent price or to get a good price. If not, people hammer you down on the percentage.
You're absolutely right. Did you notice in that example, Christian, I said if you sell the note for 12%, you're going to get $40,000. If you had to sell it at 15%, you're going to get $34,000.
Yeah, and well,
so you can sell
notes
quicker if you offer
a
higher yield without as much seasoning.
Yeah, but they were more in the 20% plus than the 15% for unseasoned notes of the people I talked to anyway.
Okay.
There's still plenty for me to talk to, but I, as I said, of the people I talked to.
Are they institutions?
No. No.
They're individuals.
Yeah.
How did
Nathan
you find them?
Nathan gave me a list of people to contact to have a feel, and those are some individuals that I spoke with. And
how did you find them?
Nathan gave me a list.
Okay. Are you sure they're not companies?
Yeah, I spoke to individual and I asked them, and they said, no, either they say I or we, meaning a group of people here. Most of them seem to be in Texas, of those that I talked to at first.
Okay. They're probably institutional note buyers or brokers, and they are going to want seasoning. That's why I sell, as we've talked about before, I sell all my notes to individuals. I don't want to deal with an institution. They're going to want an appraisal, credit on the borrower. They're going to want 6 to 12 months seasoning. I just don't like dealing with that, especially brokers. I don't deal with brokers.
Okay, so I would specifically ask, are you an individual or are you representing some type of
I would say, are you an individual using your own money, or are you with a note buying company that buys notes or brokers notes for others?
Okay, yeah, I did know that specifically when I asked them, what do you do or what are you, say, yeah, I buy notes, but I could be, not necessarily as an individual. So I will very specifically ask that, because I said, whoa, that makes things a bit difficult. As one of the strategy that I could see, listing my property, let's say, for $69,900, well, listing the property with the broker for with a retail value of 70 ARV fixed up, is there a way the broker, and I discuss that with him tomorrow, but say, listen, $70,000 property, give you credit plus 10% on the fixed cost on the market for 54? Is that something you've done in the past that seemed to be a possibility?
I'm not sure what you mean by give you credit. What does that mean?
Well, The ARV is 70,000. However, it needs about 10,000 worth of fixing up. Just make round numbers. So now, if someone gets it at 70, they're gonna have to put 10,000. So can I give the credit up front, or even say, listen, I give you 13,000 in credit, and with that 30,000.
Are you saying you're gonna go ahead and ask 70,000 for a house that needs 10,000 in work to be worth 70, but you're gonna give them credit?
In other words, they'll get the house for, let's say, 56 or 57.
Okay. Why don't you just list the house for 56 or 57? That way everybody who sees it on the MLS sees the lower price, and it looks like a better deal instead of you asking way too much money for a house that needs work.
Okay, so I asked the broker to list it for 56?
I would list it for what I was going to sell it for, not what it's worth, not the ARV minus, you know, not the ARV. I mean,
okay,
really,
and would you
same.
Phrase or would should the broker say, listen, it's only at 56 because it needs about 10K, but once you put that 10K, you actually get more than your money for the value?
Yeah, that's wholesaling, absolutely.
Well, it's wholesaling to an end buyer as opposed to a wholesaler.
Right, as opposed to an investor. But that's you're still, it's basically, a lot of people call it wholetailing. You're selling at a discount to somebody who's going to live in it probably.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah, but I would never list a price at the ARV and just say I'm going to give you credit for the repairs because anybody looking at it is going to say, oh, wow, this house is way overpriced.
Yeah, so it's in the wording in saying, okay, you can get it for 50.
Yeah,
and again, I'm just giving an example.
It doesn't make sense to jack up the price to include the repairs and then say you're going to discount it to take out the repairs. I mean, it's the same difference as listing it at the lower price.
Okay. All right, so it's in the wording of saying, listen, it's 50, you put 10K at the most into it, and you end up with a 70,000, so I can't put the wording that way as opposed to say it's 70 and bidding it, and I give you credit.
Right.
It sounds
and
a
your realtor's going to know how to word it. They're going to know.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
Good.
I'm going to close that deal one way or another. I want to close my first deal. Now, another question that I had, you seem to be funding all those houses for, you know, 19, 20, 25,000, 15,000. I've made tons of calls or whatever. I don't know how you find those deals, but I haven't seen many, many around.
How many offers have you made?
Up until now, about maybe 45, 50.
Okay.
But none in that range. I mean, I haven't seen properties in that range where I
can't.
Well,
what do you mean? Now, hold on. What do you mean you haven't seen properties in that range?
Where I can pick them up for 20, 25 top. It's,
okay.
Maybe I'm not looking. I'm dealing with a whole bunch of, you know, realtors.
Now, remember, like I just said, I picked up a house for $15,000.
Okay.
It was originally listed for $49,900. They dropped it to $44,900. They dropped it to $39,900. Then they dropped it to $29,900, and that's when they took my offer of $15,000.
What is that, a HUD home?
No, it's a bank-owned property.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a matter of making more calls, I guess. I'm just, you know, it's a little bit of a newbie type of question, but I say, man, okay.
That's okay. You'll get there. Good. I hope that helped. Anybody else have a question?
No, one more question, Larry. As far as eBay goes, if you were going to sell your property on eBay and with the down payment, how would you word that?
Well, you have a copy of the Filthy Riches course, right?
I do, yes.
Yeah, there's a complete detailed listing description in that course.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's go in there and look at that.
There you go.
And there's two
exactly
video presentations.
I can't remember what chapter it's in, but it's in there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Anybody else?
And also regarding eBay, in the course, there are two video presentations on it. I forgot which section, but you can watch. There are two videos that talk about eBay.
Right. There's one about buying and one about selling.
Yeah, and I forgot which section, but if you look a little bit into your back office, you'll run across them.
But it's also in the manual.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, good.
Okay. It's been a while since I opened the book.
Cool.
Hey, Larry, John Schultz again, real quick. I know we're supposed to call and talk to the realtors when we're looking at these different properties, but I work long hours, 4 days a week, so that I can have Fridays off. And so I'm getting home, I'm identifying properties at REOs and HUD properties, and is it all right to go ahead and send things in the email to these realtors, or do you still think that it's best to talk to them?
I think you can go ahead and send an email or email an offer, but it's best to follow up with a phone call so they don't think it's just an email only. It is best to at least follow up with a phone call, even if you just leave them a voicemail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir. It's been a good first call. Appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome. Congratulations and welcome aboard. Thanks for participating.
Thank you.
Anybody else have a question? You guys have had a lot of good questions tonight. Anybody else have any more? It's like I've wore you guys out. All right, going once. Any more questions?
Hey, Larry.
Hey.
Hey, this is Michelle again. I got another question on the, like, a HUD, you know, going for the HUD home.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I went through the HUD book and stuff kind of quickly and all that, but my question would be, being that, you know, HUD, you got closed kind of quick, so you basically kind of need a pretty good strong buyer's list right then, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
You know,
if I want a wholesale one out. Like 10 days, 15 days, whatever it is?
That's not true.
Okay.
You can set your own closing date.
Oh, okay. So that changes everything for me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was scared of. So I thought there were only 10 or 14-day like inspection, you know, their inspection dates, I should say.
There is no inspection for her. Yeah, you just skimmed the book. You haven't read the book. You need to read the book in detail.
I told you, I went through it quick.
Yeah, you need to read the whole book.
All right, sir. All right, but now, yeah, I'm better clear, and yes, I will. I'll read it better.
Good.
Hey, Larry, one quick question, please, sir. What does it mean to submit an offer with no reserves? What does that mean?
Okay, are you talking about on eBay?
Yes.
Okay. What no reserve means is if you see an auction that has no reserve, and let's say that auction starts the bidding at $1. That means the bidding does not have to reach a certain point until the seller says, okay, it's high enough now, I'll take it. But if there's no reserve and it starts at $1, one person could bid, the auction ends, and they sold their house for $1 or sold whatever it is. A reserve just means that the seller does not have to sell unless it reaches a certain point. But no, if there is a reserve, nobody knows what that reserve is. But once it does reach that reserve, then it will say reserve met. Until then,
okay.
Until then, it will say reserve not met.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope I explained that well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good. Anybody else have a question? All right, going once, going twice. Well, guys, thank you very much for being on here. It's been a great call tonight. You guys have a lot of really good questions. I really appreciate your business, and it's awesome the amount of questions you guys have and deals you got going on. And remember, I'm always here if you need me in between. Just shoot me an email to Larry@LarryGoins.com and put Inner Circle in the subject line. And thank you very much. And if you don't have anything between now and then, I'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks and keep making offers. Thanks a lot for your business, guys. I hope you have a great night.
All right, Larry, thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank
Good
you.
Night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.